This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Tuesday, June 29th. Good morning, buenos dias, and welcome back to another hour of Morning Air on this solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul. Live from our Chicago studios, I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. Great to be with you once again. Thank you so much for allowing us to bring the light of Christ to start your morning on Relevant Radio, relevantradio.com, and the Relevant Radio app. We're going to talk about these great saints, St. Peter and Paul, with Father Rocky, the CEO of Relevant Radio, coming up a little bit later in the next half hour. Now, there was a prayer vigil last night for the victims of the collapsed condo building in Surfside, Florida, as the search goes on for the more than 150 that are still missing, with at least 11 confirmed dead. The eyes of the world are on this situation, and we unite ourselves to all the prayers worldwide. Wide, including Pope Francis and so many people in the Archdiocese of Miami who are praying for these families and everyone who's affected by this tragedy. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, coming up this hour here on Morning Air, International Catholic Evangelist Martha Fernandez Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com, will be with us to continue our weekly Remember You Are Love series and discuss love in times of the pandemic. How did the pandemic affect your relationship with your loved ones or perhaps your dating experience? We'll talk about it coming up. We'll also have another episode of Glenn's Story Corner, all that and much more coming up in this hour of Morning Air. But we start every day and every hour in prayer, giving thanks to the Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, the Mother of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of life, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit on this show, and we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And we continue to pray for you, our Relevant Radio listeners, our Relevant Radio family. We also pray for our bishops. We continue to pray for peace and unity in our nation. Our power scripture from the playbook of life is from Matthew 16, verses 18 through 19. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." St. Peter, the humble fisherman who denied the Lord three times, our first Holy Father, our first Pope, is the rock on which Christ founded his church. The Gospel of Matthew was originally written in Aramaic. You are Kepha, that is rock, and upon this Kepha I will build my church. It's Christ's church. Our Lord gave Peter the keys of the kingdom, the apostolic authority to bind and loose. St. Peter was made the earthly head of the universal church, the body of Christ. Today, the 265th successor of St. Peter is Pope Francis, our universal pastor, the vicar of Christ. We invoke the intercession of St. Peter, and we also invoke St. Paul on this special feast day to pray for our Holy Father, Pope Francis, and for our church. We always finish praying, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, 888-914-9149, that's 888-914-9149. 1-800-273-8949. And now let's talk about love.
When I say goodbye, it is never for long, 'cause I know our love still lives on. It'll be again exactly like it was, 'cause I believe in the power of love.
Yes, indeed, the power of love. The coronavirus pandemic affected us in many different ways, including the way that we love. To continue with our weekly series, Remember, You Are Love, we're joined by international bilingual evangelist Martha Fernandez-Sardina to talk about love in times of pandemic. Martha is the founder and director of RememberYouAreLoved.com and Prepare the Way. Martha has served as director of evangelization for the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. and San Antonio, and has preached in various countries on three different continents. My dear Martha, good morning. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for being with us. It's always good to be with you as we begin this third episode of our weekly love series with you, our resident love angelizer.
It's great to be with you. Happy Solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul.
Absolutely. What a joy. What a great feast day. Quick thought. You have been preaching all over the world. I'm sure that this day is special for you as it is for all of us.
Of course it is, because, you know, we are so rooted in Holy Mother Church, and to have the great apostles, Saints Peter and Paul, who are great mentors in the faith and the rock, you know, and then the great evangelizer, St. Paul, and myself having even spoken in the Vatican at the audience hall of Pope Paul VI. It's always a joy to be in Rome, and to have even spoken in Rome is a real privilege. So it's a great feast day.
Martha, have you had the opportunity to visit the tombs of Peter and Paul beneath St. Peter's Basilica and St. Paul outside the walls?
Yes. When I've been to Rome a number of times, once I went down where the remains of St. Peter are, in the Scavi, where you go down to the excavations. And I've also been twice to the tomb of St. Paul. And actually, one of my rosaries that I use touched the tomb of St. Paul.
That's awesome. That is absolutely awesome. Yeah, I remember being face to face with the tomb of St. Peter, and it was awestrucking just to be standing there knowing that this Prince of the Apostles, our first Holy Father, was buried at this site. And yet I'm hearing reports that there's actually some skeptics, some scientists who don't believe that those are actually the bones of St. Peter.
Well, we'll have to see what they discover.
Exactly. Well, I know St. Peter was very much about love and respect, and what he taught in his writings and his epistles is very much in line with what we're going to talk about here as we continue our series on love. Last week, you started to talk a little bit about the love during these difficult times that we've been living for these nearly 16 months during the pandemic. And today I'd like to get a little bit more into that. I'd like you to develop that idea of love in times of pandemic. You started to talk about this situation, and I'd like to get into it just a little bit more, Martha.
Yes, you mentioned St. Peter being all about love. You know how when he denied the Lord out of fear, the Lord then healed his heart. And took back that triple denial with a triple confession of love, of faith, but of love. You know, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? But we also have been challenged, and there has been a lot of fear, and there has been a lot of confusion, and there have been a lot of threats, if you will, assaults on our love ability, our understanding that we are loved, and on our ability to love others, as well as our experience of the love of God during these 15, 16 months. And I think that sort of to contextualize this a little bit, John, let me share this. We all know that God has an amazing plan for our lives, right? We know that God is love in his very essence. We know that we're called to love, and that the most natural instinct and movement of the soul of a human being is actually to love another until sin comes into the picture. And love is also our greatest need and our greatest desire, our greatest longing, and the greatest fuel and motivation of our life. So love giving and love receiving is at the heart of what it means to be human. I would even say at the heart of what it means to be divine, because God is always about giving and receiving love. And yet, we also know, and I don't want to scare anybody, but we know that if God's plan is that we be in love, the enemy's plan is that we be out of love, that we be out of sync. He hates the fact that we are called to the mystery of love. And so I call Satan the hater in chief, and he has a plan for our lives that goes exactly against the plan of God. It's opposite. So for him, his greatest loss is the presence of love himself, which is God. And so he's not interested at all in having any of us enjoy that. And I think that he takes advantage of any and every opportunity that he can, including this crisis, this medical crisis and this emergency worldwide. He has taken advantage of it to sow, as he has from Genesis to Revelation, we see it, to sow division, to sow fear in our hearts, to sow confusion, distortion, uncertainty, doubt, even suspicion, mistrust, and distancing and separation between people, even beyond the social distancing that was required, necessary, recommended in the early phases for sure, and even to some degree today. And so I think that if we look at what we've been experiencing, we see how our ability to experience love has actually been hampered to some degree. Although the flip side of that, and this is the good news, John, there's always good news, right? That the flip side of that is that amidst all of this, all this panic, this fear, this anger, enmity even, the isolation, the alienation, the loneliness that so many have felt, the losses, major losses, the loss of life and of health and of contact, human contact, the good news is that we also have seen in many ways and in many individuals an increase in a desire to share love, to give love and to receive love. And I know myself, I've been a recipient of many gestures of love from other people. But I've also seen and been a recipient of some of that other stuff that I just mentioned, the fear, the mistrust, the anger, and so forth. So we can talk about that as we go along here.
Absolutely. I'd like to open up our phone lines, invite our listeners, if you want to talk about your experiences during this pandemic, how the pandemic has affected your relationship with your loved ones, perhaps your dating experiences, or you have a question or comment for Martha Fernandez-Sardina. Our number, 888-914-9149. We have lines wide open at this moment, 888-914-9149. Martha, talk a little bit about how the pandemic has affected our love ability, as you call it, and love ability to show ourselves and others that we are lovable, that we are love able, and that God is love.
Well, we found because of the restrictions and the precautions and measures that were taken across the nation and across the world, we found ourselves with fewer opportunities to meet and greet, to speak with others, to hug, to shake hands, to kiss one another, even to see the facial expressions and the smiles of others, to socialize and laugh and dance and engage in sports and to be entertained by others and to entertain others. And so we found ourselves with fewer opportunities to directly be able to care for loved ones, to accompany other people with closeness, with physical closeness. And we found fewer opportunities also to celebrate and rejoice with one another, and limitations on our mourning and crying with one another, to welcome babies and to bid farewell to our loved ones, to receive the sacraments and to work and play in a normal manner, to study and develop our businesses, to show our affect, our emotions to one another even. Those were limited and hampered in some way because a lot of that happens when you're in the physical presence of another, and we'll never forget the missed gatherings, the Thanksgiving, the Christmas, the Easter celebrations, the vacations, the family reunions, etc. And so that really affected a lot of people in deep and profound ways, and affected, I suspect, all of us to some degree. And as I mentioned before, the enemy likes to meddle in every way. And so it seems to me, one of my favorite parables of the several parables of the kingdom that Jesus talks about in Matthew 13, one of my favorite, because it's kind of sobering, is the parable of the weeds, where Jesus says of the sower that his servants come and say, we planted these seeds and now we see weeds. And he says, I see the hand of an enemy in this. And so we see the hand of the enemy in separating people, and there have been opportunities for love, excuse me, for love giving and love receiving, but there has also been, I think, an increase in a certain bitterness and bickering that goes on, things that have hampered our ability to give love, as I mentioned before, and to receive that love. The beautiful side, the flip side of that, is that I have seen a lot of people reach out to others. There were a number of, I never went to one, but I remember seeing in the news and online the long lines of people who went to food banks that popped up everywhere. No questions asked. People could just go and grab bags and boxes of food for themselves. I remember the beautiful scenes of priests, holy priests, who wanted to reach out to their congregants, to their parishioners, and had the drive-through confessions. Remember during Lent, which was a Lent like none other in my lifetime anyway, where we really were deprived of the physical contact with the smells and bells of church, and receiving the sacrament of confession in the church, and participating in the holy days of Holy Week of 2020. And so all of those things,
Martha,
really,
let me just jump in real quick. Our lines are lit up like a Christmas tree right now. We're never going to be able to get to all these callers, we would like to hear from some of our listeners here in this segment before time runs out. Sandra is with us from Rhode Island. Sandra, excuse me, I'm sorry. Alan is with us from Mesa, Arizona. Alan, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. What I have experienced here at our church here in Diocese of Phoenix is a huge division that has erupted as a result of the pandemic and the masking and the social distancing. At some of the Catholic churches here, there is no mask and no social distancing, and the sacraments were continued. At other places, they were so incredibly restrictive. And it has built such an enmity between different Catholics, good people, but just do not like, I mean, have a completely different opinion and don't like what's happening at various churches, that it seems like there's such a huge disruption that, and I just don't know how we fix this huge rift within our church.
Thanks, Alan. Martha?
Yes, Alan, thanks for calling, and thanks for that heartfelt concern that you have, which is shared by so many of us. I know this is going to sound somewhat controversial, because depending on where people stand, but I think that this actually, and I'm glad you asked the question, because I think that this very issue of the masking and the unmasking and the vaccinations and so forth is actually an opportunity for us to exercise our love muscle more than ever before, because whether I agree with what measure this priest or this bishop or this diocese or what choices this person or the other person or this family or the other has taken, or this state or that other state, because each state is also doing different things. No matter whether I agree or disagree with you or with the other, I need to love you, respect your choice. And one thing that really concerns me, Alan, is that we have been led to believe that another person is a danger to me, that another person is my enemy, that you are a grandma killer if you don't wear a mask or don't stay locked up. No, I am not a grandma killer. You're not a grandma killer. The other person is not a grandma killer or an enemy. And each of us take precautions. We take different measures, but we're going to do things differently. And if I might throw in there a little bit of a biblical admonition, we see even in the New Testament that different communities did things slightly differently. In fact, in the Catholic Church, we have, I think it's 12 or 13 different rites, the Eastern rites. And so we've always done things slightly differently. And this is a great opportunity for us to give each other some grace, to give each other some patience, and to take whatever precautions we need to take for our own lives and whatever measures, but not allow this to be a real disruptor of the unity that must exist in the body of Christ and the unity and love that must exist within our hearts for one another.
Thanks so much, Alan. Martha, we're going to have to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get back to many callers that are on hold wanting to talk about this issue. As we continue our conversation with Martha Fernandez-Sardina, International Catholic Evangelist, 888-914-9149 if you want to be part of the show. We're talking about love in times of pandemic. Stay with us. Much more to come on the other side here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
29 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us as we continue our conversation with Martha Fernandez-Sardina, International Catholic Evangelist and the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com, as we continue with our series on love. And we're talking about love in times of pandemic. We lost a couple of callers before the break. If you want to give us a call back, our number, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Martha, let's talk a little bit about some of the real effects of this pandemic in terms of our ability to love. As you started to say before the break, let's continue with this part of the issue.
John, when I was trying to write down that number the other day, you go so fast, so I memorized it this way so our callers can also, 1-888-914-9149, so they can call us up, 1-888-914-9149. Yeah, well, you're talking, you know, that caller from Phoenix, Alan, he touched on something that that I think is important, and it's the fact that we are embodied beings. I am my body, and my body is me. There's no separation between me and my body. So when we, because of the pandemic, this has affected the very core of who we are, not only our health, but also the way that we interact with other people, because we're not spirits, we have a body. So physical contact with other people is important. And this has affected the way that when we go to church or can't go to church, when we have had to limit ourselves, and some people still are limited to virtual masses and devotions and so forth, and not being able to touch one another, kiss one another, see each other, smile at one another, be close in actual close proximity to one another, that has actually had an effect on us. And for some people, it's actually pushed them over the edge. People who already came into this time of crisis, this medical emergency, with emotional deprivation, with a tendency toward depression or substance abuse or things of that nature, anxiety issues. This has heightened it because the very core of who we are as relational beings, that has been affected. And then all the fear of whether I'm going to catch it, if I'm going to die, if I'm protected, if I'm not, if somebody else catches it, passes it on, the loss of life, of friends and family members, the loss of jobs and income and interactions. And there has been, in fact, a spike in all sorts of abuse, self-abuse, substance abuse, domestic abuse, child abuse, exploitation of children, John, through pornography, because there has been an explosion of people using pornography. And by the way, early on during the pandemic, that's one of the most disgusting things that I discovered, was how people were profiteering off of this crisis when they were giving free memberships to some porn site somewhere. And now they're under investigation for all of the sexual trafficking of children. But we also saw, we see a spike in cases of depression and suicide, including suicide among children and youth. And I have a friend who actually a very, very dear friend who lost her husband, who was my very, very dear friend. And I remember her saying, because of COVID, and she remember her saying that maybe there's going to be thousands or millions of people who will be suffering PTSD, post-stress, post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of all that we're seeing. And for some people, that isolation was just too much, or the fear was too much. And so I think we as love messengers, we need to be so cognizant of that, that everybody has a different level of tolerance and a different level of anxiety. For some people, it's very anxious, anxiety provoking to have all that's going on in the media and all the other things that have been going on all year, the electoral process and the protests and the riots and the, so many things that were, that were conflated in the media too, the way that media presents things, they conflate all kinds of political and social and ecclesial issues. We had also our own battles within the church before the pandemic hit. And so we need to be cognizant of the fact that we all have different levels of tolerance to pain, tolerance to information and misinformation and what's disinformation or not. And so as we see that, a love messenger, what a love messenger does is we look at the other with the eyes of God, and we look at the fact that others may be struggling in ways that we ourselves don't recognize easily if we're not paying attention. And if we don't zoom in as in a magnifier to look closely beyond the headlines, beyond the sound bites, and to look at your heart to see where you're hurting, to listen more carefully to others. And I think that's one of the lessons that this living life online has taught me, and that is that nothing is a substitute for the personal contact. Nothing is a substitute for looking people in the eyes, for taking the time to see what is really going on in them, inside of them. And also taking the time, John, to accommodate to you, to the other, to every other person, to the extent that I can. And vice versa, it's a mutual, it's a two-way street, because we don't all handle fear, stress, anxiety, uncertainty, doubts, health issues, health risks in the same manner.
Well, Martha, as you're talking, I'm thinking and reflecting back during this pandemic of my own personal situation, not being able to see my mother in the nursing home. She lives at the Little Sisters of the Poor here in the Chicago area for such a long time, only virtually. And then finally, when we could see her in person, we had to wear the mask. We weren't allowed to hug her. I mean, nothing was normal. And it was very difficult emotionally not to be able to hug and give a kiss to my own mom. And I know my experience was that of many, many across our country.
Mm-hmm. Yes. One of the pictures that stays in my mind is those visits to nursing homes through the glass windows, you know, and people putting their hand on the window outside and the moms and the dads inside putting their hands up and people having tea across windows and so forth. But one of the beautiful things, people got creative because human beings, we are children of the Creator, so we get very creative. And we also remember, even despite those hard memories and those difficult moments of distancing, how people also from one balcony to another would sing to each other. And I remember seeing a lot of videos from Spain and Italy and other places where people live in high rises, and they would have like block parties, and they would sing together, and people who would do exercise routines from a rooftop so that the neighbors could get on their balconies and do their exercises because they couldn't go to the gym and things like that. I remember some people doing hugs through these plastic, I don't know if you saw those, where the grandparents would come to the front yard of their children's grandchildren's home, and they had like these plastic gloves, so to speak, but the whole body was kind of in a glove, and so people found ways to give and to receive love, and that's what we need to keep up.
But nothing like the real thing, nothing like a real authentic hug.
Yep, nothing like it. That's correct. And so also, I think what this whole crisis has, or series of crises that have come one after another and one on top of another, one thing that I think it should teach us is to, and I think it has, a lot of people have been quite reflective, introspective, what the, really matters in life. What is the essence of life? Is it the things I possess and that possess me? Is it the things I pursue in the rat race? Is it position and power and possessions? Or is it a human contact? Is it a relationship with God? In fact, at the beginning of the year, the number one podcast was the Bible in the Year by Father Mike Schmidt and Jeff Cavins, put out by Ascension Press. There were millions of people downloading that. Of course, it was the New Year resolution and all that, but it was the top podcast because people have been looking for God. There's someone who contacted me and said, how do I become a Catholic? I want to become a Catholic. And as far as I know, from the last update, a month and a half or two ago, she had enrolled in the RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults, and is learning about the faith. So this is a time when a lot of people have, in fact, some people are retiring early because they realize, you know, I'd rather spend more time with my family, with my friends, with my hobbies, with God, than just be engaged in a number of things that actually have, for some, have been a burnout, because that's the flip side, too. There's always another side, right? There's the ones who are happily giving up things to spend time with family, and there are others that have left this crisis burnt out.
Martha, we're going to have to leave it right there. So much to talk about, not enough time. There never is. Thanks so much again for being with us as we continue our series. Remember, you are loved. Thank you, Martha.
You're very welcome. Good thing we have next week to talk. And meanwhile, anybody can find me at rememberyouareloved.com and marthafernandezsardina.com. And remember, you are loved.
You are loved. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Father Rocky Hoffman, Executive Director and CEO of Relevant Radio, to talk about the solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul. Stay with us. Father Rocky, straight ahead. Much more to come here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. After the hour, welcome back to Morning Air on this solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul. Happy Feast Day. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you once again here on Relevant Radio, relevantradio.com, and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up a little bit later, this half hour will bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. Now, as we've been talking about this morning today, the Catholic Church celebrates the solemnity of the great holy apostles, Saints Peter and Paul. As early as the year 258, there is evidence of a long tradition of celebrating the solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul on the very same day. These are the two pillars of our Catholic faith, the founders of the See of Rome through their preaching ministry and martyrdom in Rome. Peter the Rock, the humble fisherman who denied Christ three times, and Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles, who wrote half the New Testament. And now, once again, we are blessed to be joined by Father Francis Hoffman, Father Rocky, the Executive Director and CEO of Relevant Radio, a priest of Opus Dei, who was ordained by Pope St. John Paul II. You can, of course, join Father Rocky and the Family Rosary across America with all your prayers and petitions at 7 p.m. Central every single night of the week here on Relevant Radio. Father Rocky, great to be with you once again. Thanks so much for joining us. Happy Feast Day.
Happy Feast Day, a solemn Feast Day. Thanks, John. Love to be on your show today because I lived in Rome for 4 years and have been there dozens of times in my lifetime, so I know very well about this Feast Day, June 29th, the solemn Feast Day of St. Peter and St. Paul. So what we celebrate and commemorate today is a heroic witness of love for Christ and faith in Christ because they both died as martyrs in Rome. And the great example they gave us is that if we're going to be followers of Christ, we have to get out of our comfort zone, right? Peter and Paul were living a wonderful life in the Holy Land, beautiful sunshine, figs, good food, good wine, fair breezes, and then they hightailed it out of there to go to Rome to preach the good news of Christ to the most important city in the world. And because of that, they wound up as martyrs. So today, the Feast of St. Peter and Paul, June 29th. And there's a big church for each one of them. There's St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican. And right under the main altar are the relics of the bones of St. Peter. He was buried there after he was crucified during the reign of Nero. He was crucified upside down in the Circus of Nero. And the altar in St. Peter's, it marks the spot where he was buried. And then on the other side of the city, outside of the ancient walls of Rome, is the church, the Basilica of St. Paul. It's called St. Paul Outside the Walls. So it's very, very important for our Catholic tradition today.
And Father Rocky, I feel so blessed. In my travels, I've been able to visit these two beautiful basilicas and actually pray with the bishops of the Midwest in front of both of the tombs of St. Peter and Paul. It's just an amazing experience. Let's talk about these heroic witnesses. Why are these men, these blessed apostles, so important to the history of the Catholic Church, the Church of Peter and Paul?
Right. So if you go to St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican in Rome, and you're out in the square and you're looking at the magnificent church that was built by Michelangelo and Buonarroti, you know, in the 1500s, in the front of the plaza, there are two monumental marble statues. One is of St. Peter and the other of St. Paul. One of them has keys, the other has a sword. So the keys of St. Peter, he's got the keys of the kingdom of heaven, which refers to the words Jesus spoke to him, recorded in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 16. And the other has the sword of the Spirit. And they're both very important in the life and history of the church, but for different reasons. Peter was chosen as the prince of the apostles by Jesus, and he persevered to the end as a martyr. And he died in Rome. He was the bishop of Rome. And so whoever's the successor of the Bishop of Rome is the successor of St. Peter, and they are the Pope. And he gave heroic witness of his fidelity to Christ. Paul never actually met Jesus in the flesh. Peter did. But he believed in him to such an extent that he also suffered martyrdom, and throughout his life he suffered a great deal for the Word of God. And he wound up establishing all sorts of new churches in the known world at that time. Antioch and Colossus and Ephesus and Thessalonica and in Rome. And 14, get this, John, 14 of the 27 books in the New Testament are attributed to St. Paul. He was a mighty apostle. He was probably most apostolic of all of the apostles, and we honor him today because of that. And St. Peter and Paul knew each other. In fact, at one point, Paul had the duty to make a fraternal correction to Peter, because Peter was out of line in terms of the Jewish customs that he was trying to impose on the new converts. And Paul said that wasn't right. So there was, you know, healthy tension in the very beginning of the church, but they were both very mighty witnesses of Christ.
Father Rocky, Peter the Rock, Paul the great apostle to the Gentiles, we can learn so much from the example of these two pillars of our Catholic Church. A couple of things that come to mind, Father, that we can learn from each.
Sure. So Peter is mentioned in all four of the Gospels. He plays a very, very prominent role. In the 16th chapter of St. Matthew, it's Peter who declares that Jesus is Christ, because Jesus said, who do people say that I am? And then he said to the apostles, who do you say that I am? And as Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. He says, blessed are you, Simon, Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. So Peter had that declaration of faith. In fact, those words of Jesus are inscribed on the bottom of the dome over St. Peter's Basilica. It's called the cupola. And if you're standing down on the floor, those letters are about 6 feet high, and in Latin says, tu es Petrus, you are Peter, et super hanc Petrum, and upon this rock, edificabo ecclesiam meam, I will build my church. So that's why Peter's so important, because he is the rock upon which the church is founded. Paul is so important because of his extraordinary testimony of faith, his apostolic zeal, and he was all in. And so we should pray to them for their intercession in our own life. And then there's lessons here about Peter. Whoever is the successor of Peter is the Pope. And here at Relic Radio, I remember when Pope Francis was elected, I was doing on-air commentary on a major television network, WGN, out of Chicago. And when he was elected, nobody knew who he was. The TV host was saying, so what do you think? What do you think about the new Pope? I didn't know anything about the Pope, and it didn't matter. I said, whoever the Pope is, we love him, we pray for him, and we obey him. And I still say that today with Pope Francis, whoever, whatever it is, we love him, we pray for him, we obey him. And we also help the Pope, because if people are confused about what the Church teaches, we help the Pope by clarifying that for people, because we have a wonderful resource. It's called the Catechism of the Catholic Church. This Pope is many times misquoted and even manipulated by the secular press. In Relic Radio, we have the duty here to help the Holy Father and Church by pointing out exactly what the Church teaches. So whoever the Pope is, we love him, we pray for him, and we obey him.
And Father Rocky, as Catholics, we're so blessed when we look at the lineage from Pope Francis today going all the way back, 265 Holy Fathers, all the way back to the first Pope, St. Peter. It's truly an amazing witness to unity and to our faith.
And did you know, John, in the Church of St. Paul outside the wall, which is a huge basilica in Rome, above the colonnade on the left, which is a line of columns that supports the ceiling and the roof, and above the colonnade on the right, there are mosaic medallions. Oh, they're probably 5 or 6 feet wide each, and each one represents one of the popes, an unbroken line from the time of St. Peter down to today. So there's Peter, Linus, Cletus, Clement, Sixtus, Cornelius, Cyprian. Those names just roll off my tongue because it's in the first Eucharistic prayer. And you get all the way up to the present time, right? So Pius XII was followed by Paul VI, who was followed by John Paul I, who was followed by John Paul II, who was followed by Benedict XVI, who was followed by Pope Francis. And there were some times in the Middle Ages and other times when there was a lot of confusion, a lot of disunity in the Church. There was one time when 3 men were claiming to be Pope, and the only way they got it resolved is they all resigned, and then they had a new election. So we pray for unity in the Church. We can't take it for granted. Jesus prayed for unity the night before he died, and we should pray for the Holy Father every day. And that's why on this feast day, June 29th, every year, the newly appointed archbishops all over the world. So a bishop is the head of a diocese. An archbishop is head of the largest diocese, for instance, in the state of Illinois. So in the state of Illinois, there's one archbishop. He's the Archbishop of Chicago. That's Cardinal Supich. The other dioceses are not as large, so the other bishops are not archbishops. So that would be Bishop Paprocki down in Springfield, and Bishop Malloy in Rockford and such. So when a person is created an archbishop, they go to Rome on this day each year, June 29th, and they receive a very special cloth that they put over their shoulders when they celebrate Mass. It's called a pallium, P-A-L-L-I-U-M. It's made out of sheep's wool. It's largely symbolic, but it symbolizes that the archbishop is very united with the Bishop of Rome, and we pray for unity. And unity will only hold up if we're all dedicated to the truth. Because if there isn't truth and honesty, then things come apart.
We're joined by Father Rocky, the CEO of Relevant Radio. We're talking about this great feast day that we're celebrating today, the solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul. Father Rocky, Saint Peter denies the Lord 3 times. Saint Paul persecutes the early Church of God. And yet our Lord took these 2 men and made them the great pillars of our faith. He changed their lives forever.
Well, it reminds me of that old saying, every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. So, John, who do you think is the greatest of those 2 saints?
That's a really, really good question, Father Rocky. I've been thinking about it.
Who do you think is the greatest?
It's a toughie because they're both greats. They're both Hall of Famers, if I may use that an analogy, the best of the best. I would say St. Peter, because only St. Peter received the apostolic authority, the keys of the kingdom. He was the rock on which Jesus built his church. Although St. Paul was the great apostle to the Gentiles, and he was the one who brought the faith to the known world, and also, as you mentioned, responsible for half of the New Testament. So it's pretty close, but I would have to go with St. Peter.
Yeah, well, we'll only know in heaven when we get up there and we see who's in first place. But I'm going to cast for St. Paul because he founded the church in so many different places. He wrote 14 of the 27 books, And he had the stigmata, right? He actually had the wounds of Christ within him, because he said, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So he took on that complete reconfiguration of Christ. Plus, he had to be obedient to Peter, and he was obedient. So that's kind of my thought, but we'll only find out when we get to heaven.
Absolutely. And one other note, St. Peter's name is mentioned 191 times in the New Testament. That's more than all the other apostles combined. So just a little vote for St. Peter as the greatest, although, Father, I can totally understand St. Paul as well.
Who's greater, St. Peter or St. Joseph?
Oh, well, St. Joseph is the man. I mean, St. Joseph.
And how many times has he mentioned?
St. Joseph is definitely.
Gotcha.
You got me, Father Rocky. Absolutely.
Gotcha.
You know, Father, real quick before we run out of time, you just celebrated your priestly anniversary just recently on June 14th. As a veteran priest, how can St. Peter and St. Paul be models for other younger priests?
Well, just by reading their writings and knowing that St. Peter repented and came back to the Lord, and Peter declared his faith in the Lord, so priests have to declare their faith in the Lord, and St. Paul persevered in the midst of difficulties, persecutions, and dangers. And that's why priests, all the faithful should every day read from the sacred scriptures. And, you know, learn from their example of love for the Lord and service of the Lord. Peter lived very close to Jesus. He lived with him day in and day out for 3 years. And because of that close physical contact, he was convinced that Jesus was God. Right? So there's a real important lesson there, to have close physical contact with Jesus every day in the Holy Eucharist, in the poor, in the suffering, in the sick and the dying. That's where we meet Christ. And the closer the priest is to the people, the closer he is going to be to Jesus Christ.
Both of these saints are remarkable. St. Peter died crucified upside down, didn't think he was worthy to imitate the Lord. St. Paul, for him, it was all about Christ. He used his name almost 400 times in his letters that you mentioned. I mean, they're both the pillars of our Catholic faith.
They certainly are. John, I'm going to have to cut this off because I've got another thing coming up, but it's been great to be with you.
Father Rocky, it's always a joy. Thanks for your insights. Thanks for reminding us the greatness of these two great saints, St. Peter and Paul. Father Francis Hoffman, Father Rocky, the Executive Director and CEO of Relevant Radio. Join Father Rocky for the Family Rosary Across America with all your prayers and petitions at 7 p.m. Central every night of the week on Relevant Radio, the Relevant Radio app, and on your smart TV. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn's Story Corner. How's this for a title for Talk Radio? Our story today, more than just hot air. Once, a group of 500 people were attending a seminar, and suddenly the speaker stopped and decided to do a group activity. He started giving each person a balloon. Each person was then asked to write their name on that balloon using a marker. Then all the balloons were collected and put in another room. The people were then let into that room and asked to find the balloon which had their name written on it, and do so within 5 minutes. Everyone was frantically searching for their name, colliding with each other, pushing around others, and it was utter chaos. At the end of the 5 minutes, no one could find their own balloon. Then, the speaker asked each person to randomly collect a balloon and give it to the person whose name was written on it. Within minutes, everyone had their own balloon. The speaker then began, "This is happening in our lives. Everyone is frantically looking for happiness all around, not knowing where it is. Our happiness lies in the happiness of other people. Give them their happiness, and you'll get your own happiness." From Philippians 2:3, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves." Thanks, Glenn. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Let your light shine before all. I'm John Morales. We'll see you tomorrow.